And at 2:02, a wonderful good afternoon to you. Talk about music that's new. We have music to play for you within the next minute or two that was written in 2006, some of it in 2004, some 2003. There's a really oldie here from 1996, 2003, another composition by our good friend Alex Shapiro, who's in studio with us. She has a brand new Innova disc. Alex, it's so wonderful to see you. Especially with a brilliant new record. This is just such a beautiful new record. It's not just cute. It's not just charming, innovative. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
It's beautiful. It's called Notes from the Kelp, and we'll talk all about that. But first, Alex Shapiro, with an I, was born in New York in 1962, raised in Manhattan, began composing at age 9. So she's learned to do it by now. She was educated at Juilliard and the Manhattan School of Music, where she studied composition under, among other people, John Corigliano, better than which I can't even imagine.
I don't think so.
I can't even imagine. Earlier composition studies from age 15 were with various other people. Aspen, Manus College of Music. She's a recipient of national honors and awards, including those from the American Music Center, ASCAP, the American Composers Forum, and Mu Phi Epsilon. She's been awarded artist fellowships from the California Arts Council and the McDowell Colony, and she's doing an event tonight with Billy Childs, who's an ex-Arfnik.
That's right.
One of my very favorite jazz pianists and a fine composer.
Amazing composer, yeah.
So, Alex, congratulations on your new Innova disc. That's what you're here on the audition booth for, because this new disc, Notes from the Kelp.
Brand new. It just came out 2 days ago.
Really?
That was the release date. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, it's great. You know, I discovered your music from a disc by the Los Angeles Flute Quartet. I found a piece called Bioplasm, which I adored, and I got in contact with you. I think that's when we met.
Yeah.
So what does Notes from the Kelp mean, and what part of your life does that?
Well, it's sort of a double entendre. I mean, a huge part of my life is sea-based, is sea-oriented. I always joke that if I hadn't been a musician, I think I would have been a marine biologist. And I've been very fortunate that I've managed to create a life where I've, for most of my adult life, lived on the sea, lived very close to or practically in the ocean, sometimes floating on it in a sailboat. And so I'm just wading around in the tide pools harassing sea creatures all the time. And it's amazing I get any work done at all. And so Notes from the Kelp, if you pick up a piece of kelp, actually, as you can see on my blog, I've got a blog that is eponymous. I love using that word. Yes. Nobody gets to use that word.
Yeah.
NotesFromTheKelp.com has a header on it, as it's called, that shows you just how note-like those pieces of kelp can actually look. And more to the point, I think that my notes get deeply inspired from that of the deep. So there's the Kelpie explanation for you.
Well, there's a work called The Deep on this piece.
Yes,
and maybe we should start with that. I was going to start with the very cute work called Slipping, which contains every imaginable style of harpsichord playing except Baroque, which I think is which is excellent. We have current events, and I thought, well, it says surge, so this must be about Iraq. No, it's about the current. Which is about the ocean currents,
yeah.
Bioplasm, which I adore, At the Abyss, which we can talk about, mm-hmm. Phos Hilaron, which I happen to know is an ancient Greek hymn in the Byzantine tradition.
And then it's been used as part of the Episcopal Evensong service,
yes,
and that's what it was written for.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it? Yes,
yeah.
It was taken over, I know, by the other side of Christianity.
That's right.
Music for two big instruments, the instruments being piano and tuba. And The Deep, which we'll hear. I don't even know what to play. There's so much to play here.
Well, I think it depends. If people want to fall asleep right away, we can start with Deep. Or if they want to wake up, we can start with Slipping or
Let's start with that because it is so wonderful. Let's just talk about it a little bit.
Sure.
Because you've got great players here. You've got Robin Lawrence, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about your relationship with Robin and the ear unit and go.
Well, Robin is, and some people listening to the show know her very well because she's a fixture in Los Angeles. She has become a dear friend of mine since about, I don't know, 7 years ago. We met, and she took a liking to my music. She asked me to do a piece. She commissioned me for she and her harpsichordist partner, who do gigs together. And I was charmed by this idea, and I'm immediately thinking, harpsichord, wow, there's a challenge, because it's sort of, it can be a timbrely, boring instrument sometimes, depending on how it is used. And I do not want to be timbrely, boring. I kept thinking, what can I do that's sort of interesting? Because it's a very cool instrument. And so,
but it's the opposite of the liquidity that you want to associate with water.
The exactly.
It's too articulate for that.
That's right. It would be, well, it could be the barnacles. It could be the sharp barnacles.
The froth on the wave.
There you go. But this piece, Slipping, actually is not water-based. It's one of the pieces on the album that is just my way of expressing myself. Robin has a tremendously wonderful sense of humor, and she's a master musician who can play in every style imaginable. And I asked her about her harpsichordist, Kathleen McIntosh, fabulous woman, and I said, does she share your sense of humor? And Robin said, oh, yes. And I said, well, that's a really good thing. And I started to write, as listeners will hear, some things that a harpsichordist would just never, ever get to play, starting with like a Cuban montuno rhythm that then morphs into some kind of Argentine tango thing, and then we're off and running.
There's some Zorba in there,
There's
too.
Some Zorba in there. Basically, what I did, my little game with myself is to turn this wonderful plectrum instrument into every other plectrum instrument in the world except for what it really is, except for harpsichord. I didn't give it any of that Baroque music. And I had so much fun turning it into a bouzouki or a guitar or a mandolin or a oud or whatever. And that, because violin is found all over the world. So if you pair them together, you can get kind of, I call it the world tour for anyone with attention deficit disorder. So there you go.
Here we go. Slipping, composed last year. You want to talk about music that
actually,
was...
Actually, this one, Slipping is an adaptation of a duo that was Slip. And so the Slipping version with all the percussion played by the fabulous Dan Morris was done last year.
Here's the gerundive, Slipping, by our in-studio guest Alex Shapiro from her brand new Innova disc called Notes from the Kelp. Robin Lorenz plays the violin and Kathleen McIntosh the harpsichord, with Dan Morris playing percussion, from the audition booth at Cal State Northridge. Brand new from Innova, further proof that classical music is deadly serious.
And that composers are really demented.
Right. We have the composer in studio, and she's admitting that she wrote Slipping. Yes, she is. Alex Shapiro is here from her brand new disc, Notes from the Kelp. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful piece? Slipping, composed in 2006 and performed by Robin Lorenz playing the violin, and Kathleen McIntosh at the harpsichord, with Dan Morris playing discreet percussion, from a brand new disc, Notes from the Kelp, here on the audition booth. A review of new and recent releases every weekday from 2 to 3 here on Arts and Roots Radio for Southern California and the world, 88.5 KCSN, kcsn.org. We are delighted, we are honored, we are flattered to have Alex Shapiro in studio with us. I learned about her from the next work that we're going to hear. It's called Bioplasm. Before we get to that, it was from a disc. Actually, the people that appeared on one of the shows, I don't remember, I think ARF, Los Angeles Flute Quartet people, came in and brought the record. And the one tune that I really loved was Bioplasm by Alex Shapiro, and I contacted her. So we're going to hear that in this recording from that time. But first, let's talk about the event that you have tonight.
Yeah, this evening, everyone is invited. The Center for Cultural Innovation, a terrific group that really helps, I would say, to describe them, they help teach artists how to fish as opposed to just handing them a fish. And the marvelous group, and they are hosting a little event. Billy Childs, the fabulous Billy Childs, and I are going to be chatting with Patrick Scott, who some people here in town know as the marvelous producer of Jacaranda.
Oh, he's one of my all-time favorites.
Patrick's great, and he's an artist as well. And the three of us are going to be having a conversation. Patrick's sort of moderating it, but we're going to get him deeply involved, as we will the audience. It's at the Japan American Cultural and Community Center, also known as the Japan America Theater. And the address is 244 South San Pedro Street, Los Angeles, down in Little Tokyo. Tickets are $30, but if you mention this station and Martin Pearl's favorite fabulous show, you can get a $10 discount and come for $20. So call. Here's the number to call if you'd like to join us tonight. It starts at 6:30. It goes for 2 hours or so, and you'll get some free wine out of the deal. There's a nice reception afterwards. It's 213-687-8577. That's 213-687-8577.
Is there a website?
There is.
Japan American?
No. It's actually cciarts.org, I'm almost positive. And if you Google Center for Cultural Innovation, you'll find it there too.
Excellent.
And there's also a link on my website.
Billy Childs is an extraordinary composer and a wonderful pianist. Of course, he's recorded enormously and very, very influentially as well.
That's right.
So Alex Shapiro is our guest in studio on the audition booth, just to reset the timer here. Notes from the Kelp is her new disc. It's on Innova, and it has a great number of things. And as you can tell from Slipping, she's the mistress of a number of styles, and the disc itself has a number of styles on it. But the through line, and this is going to maybe embarrass people, it is the music is all beautiful. It's not all clever, cute, earth-shattering, groundbreaking. I mean, it is those things too, but not everything is. But everything is beautiful. And that really is saying a lot about music, because that's what we come to music for at the end of the day. And it's nice to have music that is... in fact, I should tell you, Barry Schrader, who is an electroacoustic master, called, or rather wrote me an email and said, Alex is going to be on your show. Her new record is just beautiful. And that's exactly the way. So congratulations.
Oh, that's such high praise coming from you guys. I mean, it really is. And that's the whole point of what we're doing. We're doing this to communicate and to reach people emotionally, you know, whatever that means to any artist, you know.
Steve Reich told me, he said, I don't care how innovative it is. Does it move you?
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't move me, he said, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you did to get that if what you got wasn't moving.
Yeah.
All right, so Bioplasm, let's go to that. Gurgling up, she said, I called this piece Bioplasm because gurgling up from the primordial sludge seemed a bit long for a title. Alex.
Well, I had, again, this is the joy of writing for great performers, as with the last piece you just heard, that when the Los Angeles Flute Quartet wanted to do something with me, I knew I had just four people who were really game for anything. They're just great people. And so I decided, well, again, flute quartet traditionally can be a little on the boring side. It's a very homogenous sound. What can I do that's a little different? And I thought of a number of things I could do that was a little different, starting out with treating them, as you'll hear, like a bunch of percussionists. That kind of bookends the piece. And then I also have extensively through the piece, they are singing while they are playing. There are, and to their credit, there are absolutely no overdubs on this recording. They do this live, just like what you're hearing on this recording, which is amazing. And I wanted to really find some very cool textures and sounds to use and bridge the gap between completely textural work and very, very melodic work.
And Bioplasm means what?
Bioplasm is kind of the squishy stuff that makes up life. I mean, it's the core of what makes life. I was reading a lot of Lewis Thomas at the time, and I was very inspired by him. I've always been by his writing, and I recommend him to everyone. And I think I was just thinking of what it is to create sound that oozes across the sonic floor, and what how could I represent that beginning of life sonically? So
we talked a little bit off mic. We're going to listen to Bioplasm in a second, but there is a wonderful section. It's a very, very long section. I think it's the first three or four chapters, actually, of Ken Kesey's novel, Sometimes a Great Notion. It talks about the Oregon coast, and there's a number of strands there, but the big strand is the transition from vegetable to animal that he says is imperceptible, and then you suddenly see things that are actually self-moving. I don't know what locomotion. So whatever it is, they move.
Yeah.
They're not just blown by the water. You have to look very closely, but they actually have some little.
They grow little legs and they crawl.
That's right. So dedicated to all of them and all the steps that came before and after. Here is Bioplasm. Composed in 2004 by our in studio guest Alex Shapiro from her brand new Innova disc called Notes from the Kelp. Here's Bioplasm from the audition booth at Cal State Northridge. And they're doing that live, aren't they? Those are not overdubs
at
all. That's Bioplasm, brand new from Innova on Alex Shapiro's new disc, Notes from the Kelp, here on the audition booth, a review of new and recent releases every weekday from 2 to 3. here on Arts and Roots Radio for Southern California and the World, 88.5 KCSN and KCSN.org. This was the Los Angeles Flute Quartet, and that is a very, very special recording. We heard this from a disc of theirs a couple of years ago. This is where I first heard about Alex, and we've had a couple of conversations, and finally she is here in studio to present her own disc, and nothing makes me happier than to be able to offer brand new music with the people that made it. And as you can see, 21st century music is not all bad. It's not all noises and squiggles and scooches, but it does have some of those. But it, and I think I've said this before, and I think she thinks I'm flattering her, but it's just beautiful. I mean, what it is beauty is there, and we recognize that. And even when there are dissonances and so forth that some people think is the only way to go, it moves on and it comes back. It's more they're more functional dissonances.
A balance is really fun to have, and to have something that sounds organic, no matter what direction tonally it takes or rhythmically it takes, to go from the textural and a little weird to the very straight ahead kind of traditional stuff. And you have to ask yourself as the composer, as you're writing it, does this sound like it was inevitable that it went to this next place sort of inevitably? And as long as, at least for one's own personal taste, you can answer that question yes, then maybe you're on the right track. And the beauty of writing today is that composers have every style and choice available to them, but there are no more rules, absolutely none. And so it's up to us, because there's no editor from on high telling us what kind of music is important to write and what will be approved of. And so since that doesn't exist, we have to basically approve of ourselves, which is all another topic. But basically we have to make sure that we're asking ourselves the right questions about where is our music going within a piece.
One of your earlier mentors, John Corigliano, told me one time his father was concertmaster of the New York Philharmonic, and he was backstage waiting for his dad at a rehearsal or whatever, and he was wandering around, and he heard some sobbing. And he walked down, followed the tears and down the hall, and there was Leonard Bernstein in his office, in his dressing room, crying over an article that had been a review from the New York Times over one of his own compositions. And that there were people who, in a position of power, who could tell you, no, that's unacceptable because it's tonal, for example, or it's, not nasty enough, or what? I don't really know. And God love all those people, Webern and Schoenberg and Berg and all the people, Nono and Dutton, all those people, because now people like Alex Shapiro, our guest in studio, can say, I like that that Berg Opus 1 sonata where it does so and so and so and so, and I'm going to see if I can use that functionally in something else of mine. Yeah. And we honor all that they did, but we don't want to stop there.
That's right.
And we're talking for you now. I'm not a composer, but speaking for just what I want to hear. I want to hear things that maybe use the stepping stones of the past, but aren't locked there.
And it's the same thing idiomatically. The boundaries are just crashing down, thank goodness, between rock and jazz and alternative and classical and, yada, yada, yada. I mean, this album is an interesting example. Billboard right now, believe it or not, has it listed under rock. One of these tracks was on a jazz station a few nights ago, and then here I am on this supposedly classical music station, right? And I'm loving that. I think that's how it should be. If one is writing stuff that isn't readily classifiable, but hopefully is, I'm flattered by you saying it's beautiful. Hopefully it's communicative and takes people on a great journey. That's the point. It doesn't matter what we call it. And I think that we get really paralyzed in society in general when we have to categorize everything. So the joy of being a composer right now, or any kind of artist, is lack of categories.
Well, I think the problem is that the only categories really are the marketing categories.
Yeah.
And that really is the problem. You go into a record store, and where are you going to point your nose?
I'm so glad you said that, because interestingly, the first version I had in my mind when I produced this album, what I wanted to do, I write a lot of jazz, and what I wanted to do was choose certain pieces out of my catalog, which would be some of these, not all of them, and then do a juxtaposition of each track, and then do the jazz version of it, taking the same, not in a tacky way, but taking the same theme, the same drive, and then developing it for a jazz quartet or something like that, and then going back and forth between the two. And then when I spoke to a couple record companies about this, and they didn't think that it would sell. They said DJs won't know what to do with it. And so I still might produce that kind of an album, but that was my first thought about
this.
Go
for it. Well, yeah, it's not just radio programmers. I eschew the word DJs, but at the same time, yeah, exactly. Luckily, this is not a classical radio station. Luckily, this is Arts and Roots.
Right.
And although there is a classical music station in this city that thinks it's alone. We do play a lot of classical
music.
Yes,
you do.
We think we play a lot of very interesting classical music uniquely. But we do have a broader definition of what classical music means. So it can mean Chick Corea, can mean Billy Childs, it can mean Charlie Parker. It can mean a lot of different things.
That's right.
And it doesn't finally matter because Arts and Roots means just that. And if your roots are Anton Webern, or if your roots are some dance form from the 17th century, or, you know, 11th century chant, they're your roots, whatever they're, the blues. It doesn't much matter. It's what you make of it that counts. People that want to pin you back and, you're Armenian or you're Jewish or whatever, they want to pin you personally. They're not interested in where you're going.
It makes it easier for them to digest it. Also, they need to put it into a box to understand it. And that's why one of these other, what I find an obnoxious term, when everybody puts neo in front of something where it doesn't have its own definition yet, it doesn't have its own category because it's brand new. They'll say, it's neo-romantic, or it's neoclassical, or it's neo-minimalist, or, you know, yada,
or
yada,
post,
yada.
Post.
Or post, exactly. We've got neo or post. We don't know if we're coming or going or look at you, whatever. It's crazy. And it's like, the reason they do this is because there are no good words. You know, back in Brahms's time, I don't think it was called romantic music. In Mozart's time, I don't think they called it classical music. Baroque, same thing. You know, we bring these monikers to things long after the fact. And so now it's very hard for critics and other people to write about music if they don't have the right terms to use. And it stymies them. It's very challenging. So I say break down the walls, get rid of all the terms, just call it music. It's music. Either it speaks to your condition or it doesn't.
It is. And I think that there's a hint there. But I want to go back to the quote that I told you about off microphone about Joan Tower, which was that she said when I was interviewing her that she was a left-hand composer. I said, Joan, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the right lobe of the brain because it relates to the left side of the body and so forth? She said, oh, no, something very, very simple. I always look to the left of the pencil. I said, which pencil? She said, the one that's writing the notes. And I said, what does that mean? She said, well, I want to know what I've just written so that I can tell what to write next because I want to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm not moving from some chart that I've written out. I'm not saying, well, this was, you know, so-and-so key, so I need to go to so-and-so other key. I need to modulate it. No, I want to go to what from sound to sound,
exactly.
Not from note to note, because notes are just approximations of sound. I want to get the sound, whether it's four flutes or whether it's a solo piano. I want to know, and you're talking, this is the kind of organicism, I believe, that you, Alex Shapiro, who's in studio with us, who's presenting her brand new disc called Notes from the Kelp on Innova here on the audition booth. She's talking about how these things, she wants them to grow as if they were kelp, as if they were growing into whatever they grow into.
Kelp forests. Sonic forests.
Right.
How lovely.
Yeah. Well, I think I want to put together, I don't know, we have about 14 minutes, and there's a lot of things that I want to play here, and I don't know. Why don't we play Surge? That'll give us a bit of a short tune to play.
Great. This is a string quintet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like the Bartok Seventh Quartet, but it probably isn't. But from current events, and this Surge does not mean the Iraq Surge.
Not at all.
It means an oceanic event,
right.
I believe. And here it is, music of Alex Shapiro from Notes from the Kelp. From Innova. That's just the first movement of Current Events by Alex Shapiro, who's our in-studio guest here on the audition booth, a review of new and recent releases every weekday from 2 to 3 here on Arts and Roots Radio. The first movement is Surge. That's what we just heard. Ebb is the second movement, and Rip is the third movement. Current Events. Alex is in studio, and we have a couple things to say where you can buy the record, for one thing.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely. And this piece, by the way, this was commissioned by the wonderful Mark Carlson's wonderful Pacific Serenades concert series, which is going strong almost 20 years now. It's just remarkable what he does. And this was performed by Mawako Watanabe and Connie Kuka on violins, Victoria Miskolci and David Walther on violas, and David Speltz on cello. And just, again, marvelous Los Angeles people that I've been honored to work with. So many great musicians in the city. This is amazing. Tell I've lived me. Here for 24. Mm-hmm. I had lived here until May for 24 years. So I feel blessed. The album in general, if you guys would like to hear more of this, there's 73 minutes of fun here and 10 seconds. And you can, the easiest way is go to my website, because, of course, I want you to go to my website, which is www.alexshapiro.org. Just remember org, like a music orgy. Think of it that way. alexshapiro.org. And you'll see it front and center there, because I'm so proud to get this out, because I've been very fortunate to be recorded on a lot of artists' CDs over the years, but this is the very first CD that's entirely me, and it means a great deal to me.
Well, as it should, and it's a very, very successful work. Notes from the Kelp, it's called, on Innova, and Alex Shapiro has been our guest today in studio. We hope that you'll come back the next time we have something, anything, just another piece, you know, because I discovered you from a Los Angeles flute quartet. Disc Bioplasm is what I discovered, so it really doesn't much matter, but I'd love just to have you back. I know you've moved from Malibu to Oregon.
Not Oregon, actually, further north to the San Juan Islands.
Oh, that's right.
Up there by the Canadian border, you know.
I was thinking of the Kesey, Oregon coast.
Right. Yeah, I'm further north. Yeah. It's very gorgeous rural environment. Amazing.
Wonderful.
Sea-based environment.
Yeah. Okay, you're on tonight with Patrick Scott and Billy Childs.
That's right.
An event
please.
At the Japanese American Cultural and Community Center.
213-687-8577. If you can make it, give a call.
And we thank you again. This has been the Audition Booth. Tomorrow we start our pledge drive, so we don't have an Audition Booth tomorrow, but we'll be playing some great stuff, and we have some great things to send you with our thanks. We're going to thank Alex again and play Deep. This is the last work on the disc, and it is Deep. Brand new from Innova, from the disc called Notes from the Kelp, Alex Shapiro's composition from 2004, Deep, for contrabassoon and electronics, commissioned by Carolyn Beck and performed beautifully here by Leslie Leshinsky, along with Dan Morris playing additional percussion and the electronic track realized, produced, and recorded by the composer, Alex Shapiro, here on The Audition Booth, a review of new and recent releases. Every weekday from 2 to 3 here on Arts and Roots Radio for Southern California and the world, 88.5 KCSN and KCSN.org. 301, I'm Martin Perlick, named the Best of LA by Los Angeles Magazine. This is 88.5 FM, KCSN and KCSN HD, Northridge, Los Angeles, a broadcast service of California State University Northridge since 1963, streaming on the World Wide Web at KCSN.org. Arts and Roots Radio for Southern California and the world.